Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
This is the 49ers Web Zone No Huddle Podcast, part of the Odyssey Network. I'm Al Sacco with Brian Rennick. We are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth. He's host of Odyssey original podcast, The Stinkin' Truth, covering the entire NFL. Thanks for being here, man.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. Great to be with you guys.
So, Stink, I got to start off. I have a question for you about analytics in the game. And I read a quote from you after the Super Bowl, and I really agreed with it. And you were talking about Kyle Shanahan's decisions at the end of the game. And you said they had talked about the plan for overtime going into this thing. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the problem with analytics. This is the problem with math, because it makes the entirety of the league equal. And you went on to say what's not equal is Patrick Mahomes. He's not the same as anybody. And I really agreed with that. And I thought even about with Dan Campbell, when you thought about some of the decisions he made, if he makes some different decisions, maybe the Lions win that game. And I'm okay with analytics when it's a piece of the puzzle. But when you make it the whole piece, I feel like that's where you go off the rails. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about where you think analytics are in the league right now and just what your opinion is of that.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I really feel like you've got to be able to discern the information. You've got to be able to look at it. But ultimately, the decision that you make during the game has to be based on how that game is going and the way that game is flowing. And, you know, I get into conversations with people, whether it's on my radio show or on the podcast, about analytics in general. And, you know, it's really funny because people will talk about 2-point plays and when you have to go for 2-pointers and how many times you have to go for 2-point plays. And I'm thinking to myself, have you ever been in an NFL practice? Because we go in any game plan, we may have 1 2-point play that we love and another that we kind of like, and the rest of them are just third down plays. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, and that's how you approach it. And then the other thing is, do you know when you do goal line in an NFL practice? When you work on goal line? Do you have any idea?
No.
Okay, it's a Friday in helmets. That's the only time you work on goal line.
Okay.
So you don't run it ever at full speed. You don't ever run goal line practice in practice during the course of the regular season. You don't ever run it in pads. So, you know, the analytics behind, hey, you should go for it, to me is bullshit, because ultimately if you already run one, like the second one you have isn't the one you're in love with. And if you come out and line up and they call timeout, well, now they've already seen the formation of the one you love. And so there's a lot of stuff that goes into the 2-point conversion plays where at times you just get into a, you know, your third down package from the 2-yard line or whatever it is and run those things. So like, there's a lot of different things that I always look at. Like, what if you haven't blocked the 3 technique all day long? What makes you think in a critical situation on, you know, what essentially equates to 4th down and 2, what makes you think you're going to block him this time? There's a lot of little things. You know, I made up on my own radio show my own analytic. I call it my boo rating, B-O-O. That's balls over opponent. Are my balls bigger than your balls? Because if my balls are bigger than your balls, then I think I can have success. There's just a lot of it to me that doesn't really equate to real-life football. I always joke around, math has never made a tackle, and Math has never thrown a block. So I'm just going to trust the guys that I trust. And sometimes you put guys in, you know, in positions where it's just impossible to win. And you've got to understand, the game, and you've got to understand the situation. And so I think great coaches, I think so a lot of the bad decisions, the bad clock management of today's game is really based on coaches turning over to the, or turning to the analytics and then not being completely in sync with what's going on in the game. And I think it's added, to some of the, you know, the indecision and some of the, you know, poorly used timeouts and some of the, you know, just some of the bad decisions that are made on a Sunday to Sunday basis.
Let's, I want to follow up on that, because I think that's an interesting point. You know, one of the things that Kyle Shanahan probably gets criticized most for are his in-game decisions and his time management. As somebody that feels like a lot of that might be skewed a little bit by analytics, it feels like the analytics world says Kyle Shanahan is too old school, right? Too conservative, too whatever. Where do you stand on Shanahan's in-game management, his time management, his decision-making, things like that?
Yeah, I think that some of that stuff obviously is because you're trying to meld two worlds together. And, you know, I'm of the belief, and I probably fall on the old school side of things, is that I want to give my guys obviously the best chance to win, but I want to give my guys the best chance to win doing what we do and being kind of being what we are. And, you know, a lot of times I think that, you know, in some of those situations, you get away from what you do well. And, you know, I'll give you, for instance, in my 6 years playing in Denver, we were what I would call a conversion team. So second down and one or second down and two was not a shot down. In the NFL, there's a lot of, hey, let's take a shot on this play to see if we can convert, and then we have third down to do it. We were a conversion team. Second down and one, I knew anytime I was sat in a huddle on second down and one, I knew without a shadow of a doubt there was three plays going to be called. There was going to be 14-15 handoff, 18-19 handoff, or quarterback sneak. 100%. We weren't going to try to trick you. We weren't going to try to do any of that stuff. We're going to do what we did well, what we practiced all the time. You know, the things we did 10,000 times, that 10,000 hour rule. And we were going to do it better than you. And, you know, ultimately, what ends up happening is you wear teams out. You physically beat the snot out of teams. And then the next thing you know, in the third and fourth quarter, you're ripping off 12 yards a carry. You know, now it's 9 yards a carry. You're just beating people up. Because we're constantly converting, constantly. And the other thing it does for you, and this is what a lot of offensive coordinators don't understand, is it allows you in situational football to be aggressive in your pass sets. And the toughest thing for an offensive lineman to do is, you know, you're matched up with a defensive lineman who's the same size and strength as you for the most part, that is exponentially a better athlete than you. And so if I just sit back and pass pro all the time, I'm going to get my ass whipped. So you have to give me tools in my tool belt to be able to be aggressive. I always, when I consult with teams, I always talk about, let's take the passive out of pass protection. How do you do that? Well, you make third down and three a down where you're going to run it, you know, or you make second down and three a down where you're going to run the ball and you're going to do those things. And then all of a sudden, when we do throw the ball on a five-step drop, shoot all up, kick it, or run block it. And now all of a sudden it's one less time where I have to survive, one less time that I have to hold up in pass protection. And when I can do that enough, now I got a defensive lineman questioning, run pass. All of a sudden I take an aggressive set. He thinks it's run, even if it's a seven-step drop or a five-step drop. And so you give me the opportunity. I always say this about the NFL. If an offensive line gives up seven sacks, it's not the O-line that sucks that Sunday. It's the play caller. The play caller sucks. And so, you know, I think you really have to understand, and I think this is one thing that Kyle Shanahan probably does better than just about anybody else in the league, is he understands everybody's problems. And he understands, you know, the problems for the O-line, the problems for the running back, the problem for the QB, the wide receivers. He understands that, the defensive players as well. And so the time management thing, some of that stuff, you know, I understand the criticism, You know, but I think it's somewhat of a league-wide epidemic. I don't know that anybody is great from the from clock management and play management, because I think you're asking guys who grew up a certain way to do things differently. You know, Dan Campbell, I mean, Dan Campbell risks it all the time. I tell you what, the Chargers are probably going to be exponentially better this year because, you know, Jim Harbaugh is going to lean on running the football and taking pressure off his quarterback and converting and, you know, not going for it on, you know, fourth down and one from your own 32-yard line. Like, that's just not going to happen. And, you know, it goes back to what Bill Belichick used to say all the time. More games are lost than won. And I think there's a lot of games lost because ultimately you're trying to be too aggressive and you're trying to be too tricky.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Stink, I got to ask you about Brandon Ayuk. The big news with the Niners right now is his extension coming up, and the wide receiver market is crazy with money, and it's about to get to explode really with Jefferson and Chase. Yeah. So they're going to have to pay him if they want him, and you have this great wide receiver draft class coming in as well. Do you think Ayuk is number one, and would you pay him as such?
Yeah, you know, I have a real just issue with that market in general. Just because, like, I would tell you, the last guy to lead the league in receiving, you know, yards and catches and all those things to win a Super Bowl was Cooper Kupp, and the guy who did it before him was Jerry Rice in like 1988.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't equate, you know, 10 other guys have to do their job exceptionally well for you to have an impact on the game. And at somehow, I'm not sure exactly how this happened, but I think there's become an overvalue situation of how we value wide receivers in the National Football League. And I don't know if there will be a market correction like there was this year on the safety position. I call it, you know, the Fangio effect, something that Kyle Shanahan told me. He said, hey, man, the way the league is right now, it's the Fangio effect. They're playing his, you know, shell defense and essentially making you throw the ball underneath on a consistent basis. And you saw a couple of years ago the safety position explode from a financial standpoint where they're paying everybody 15, 16 million bucks a year. And then all of a sudden everybody got cut this year. And now it's, you know, the going rate's what, seven and a half, 8 million bucks for safeties. Mm-hmm. So it's just changed. You know, you don't no longer need that middle of the field eraser. Now you got, you know, two guys, you got to be able to rotate, run down, and you're playing quarters or, you know, cover six for the most part. So it's just that part has just changed. But Ayuk, getting back to your question, I think Ayuk has made unbelievable strides as a professional. And I think when he first came in the league, and I always say this, I said this to my son when he went on to play professional baseball, just because you play pro baseball doesn't make you a professional. Just because you play pro football doesn't make you a professional. I think you look at Ayuk, he had to learn how to become a professional, and he certainly did. And, yeah, the market, you know, I would think that you could find a way to get him paid. But you got to have some outs in that. You got to have an ability, you know, on both sides to get out eventually after a couple of years. But I think the wide receiver market is the most overvalued market in football. So anyhow, that's just kind of how I feel about it. But he's a damn good player. He's really built himself into a really good player, and he's fun to watch.
You know, one of the issues that the 49ers are running into, obviously, is when you have a roster as talented as theirs with a lot of top-end talent and guys that you've drafted, eventually you're going to have to pay those guys. And you've got, you know, you're paying Trent Williams, you're paying Nick Bosa, you're paying George Kittle, you're paying Fred mm-hmm. Warner, you know, you're paying all these guys. And so you lose a guy like Arik Armstead. But one of the things that 49er fans went into this offseason saying with their full throat was, we need to upgrade this offensive line. And I kind of want to hit on that with someone who is an expert in that area, somebody who has played within this offensive system and somebody who has played offensive line at a high level in the NFL. What is your view of the 49ers offensive line? What do you feel like is their weakness? And do you think that there is an upgrade that they need to make? And would you consider that to be on the interior, or would you consider that to be right tackle? Because obviously left tackle is being held down by one of the greatest to ever do it.
Right.
Do you think that they need an upgrade, or do you feel like their offensive line is good enough to get as it stands right now, which is exactly as it was last season, to get them back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, well, I think that they're exceptionally well coached, and I think the scheme is so good that the scheme is so good that, like, you could still have, you know, a Super Bowl run with that group up front. Now, you know, when you talk about individually, would you say that individually, other than Trent Williams, who, by the way, I saw him at the hotel. I was covering the second to last game of the season between Washington and between San Francisco, and I saw him in the lobby of the hotel, and I ran up because I'd never met him before to introduce myself. And I totally fangirled over it. I kid you not. I was just like, oh, Trent Williams. Like, I love watching you play.
I love it.
I'm such a huge fan. And he is awesome. He is just incredible. But the rest of those guys, you know, I think are really good players. Now, obviously, you know, end of the Super Bowl, where you get forced to kick a field goal, you bust a protection, which is like, that stuff is, that's beyond me. But for the most part, from a scheme standpoint, the way they operate, they are really good. And it's individualistically, like, individually, are they the best at their positions? No, not other than Trent. No, nobody
right.
is. But are they really good together? Yes. And that, to me, is more important. The one thing that you get into, it's kind of like, I'll equate it to Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson is phenomenal. And he's incredible athletic, and his ability, you know, to scramble around and extend plays and throw the ball, and the amount of, you know, single coverage they get. So, and he's great with that stuff. But when push comes to shove and he's in the playoffs, teams are going to make you beat them from the pocket. And I thought Kansas City did a phenomenal job game planning with not only their rush plan. And if you watch them, they blitz. And right when they get up to, you know, to hit or defeat whoever was blocking them, whether it was a tight end or a running back or even an offensive player, a tackle guard, they'd run up, they'd butt, and they'd stop. And so they would have five or six guys all just kind of creating this wall. And, you know, the one thing you get when you get a free runner at Lamar, he makes that free runner miss all the time. And then it's pandemonium. And so in the NFL, you know, the problem with the guy who is, his default mechanism is the neck down. You know, that means mm-hmm. my default mechanism is being an athlete. The right. problem with that guy is when they make you, and they will eventually make you beat them from the pocket. And so, listen, if they have a 10-point lead like they usually do, because they're so hard to defend, they have mm-hmm. a 10-point lead, you don't ever have to worry about it. Because they're running the ball, they're doing all those things. If they don't, then they're in trouble. And I think the Niners are that way offensively a little bit. Mm-hmm. When they can develop the lead and they can let their scheme work, they're really good. When they have to straight drop back and beat you from the pocket, and they don't have all the runs, they don't have all the play action stuff, when they're down, that's where they struggle. And that's where their offensive line is not, you know, it's not a dominant force. It, when you have to just sit up and pass protect, then they can be exposed and then they get in trouble. And that's why, you know, I mean, Kyle Shanahan's record there when down by whatever in the fourth quarter, you know, they coming back, why it's not very good is they don't play. They're not exceptionally physical and they can't just hold up. And not many teams can, but they struggle a little bit when those situations, I think when they're placed in those situations and they become a little bit more one-dimensional, they're not nearly as good. And I would also tell you part of that, part and parcel of that, is they're probably not the best route running group either. You know, they're great run after the catch and they're great scheming people up. But, you know, I mean, when you're talking about just pure route runners, a lot of those guys are, I wouldn't consider them the best route runners in football. They're just unbelievable in that scheme, catching the ball. And then every one of them becomes, you know, a runaway fullback after they get the ball in their hand. So they're a big they're a real physical group. They use their scheme exceptionally well. But like I said, if they get forced into a dropback game, they're average.
Do you feel like
you were the
real quick, just to follow that up, the lack of dropback pass sets, right? They're not great at it. Do you feel like that's the type of athlete that they target, right? Because they are targeting guys that are a little lighter in the pants, if you will, because they want them to be able to get out to the second level when they're run blocking and things like that. Or do you just think it is schematic in general?
Yeah, I think most of it, I just think it's schematic. It's the way they're built. It's what they're good at. It's what they do. You know, one thing about playing in the NFL is, and I'm a big believer in this, you can't be great at everything.
Right.
So you got to pick what your identity is and you got to live in that for the most part. And, you know, what ends up happening to you, like I said, when you get forced out of it, those are the games you're going to be closer. Those are the games you're going to be fighting. Those are the games that are going to struggle. And, you know, unfortunately for, you know, for San Francisco, those are, you know, the two Super Bowls that they played in against the Chiefs. They kind of got forced out of what they do. You know, the one thing I thought last year, I thought they almost tried to game plan that backwards, where they're trying to beat you from the pocket early and then get into their stuff. And, you know, there's always, I mean, Kyle's much smarter than I am when it comes to game planning and stuff, but I just am a big believer in doing what you do, you know, and having that identity. And like I said, you just don't have enough time to be great at everything. So that's something that I'm a believer in. Identity to me is exceptionally important with any football team. And I think the Niners, you know, for the most part, have done a phenomenal job with that identity.
Stank, you're the best, man. Thanks so much for the time.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Stank.
Take care.
9-0-3! 1-2-3!
Niners! 2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.